Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast. We throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode's all about fast travel.
We're going to get places quickly.
Fast travel took off as a concept mostly in video games, but it's been really interesting to see because I think that it's had a negative impact on TTRPGs. In particular, because everyone just thinks that they should be able to like bounce around and not have to travel from one destination to another.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a rebound happening right now, or there's a reverberation happening. Nope.
Rebound. Pendulum shift. The pendulum's paradigm shift, or the pendulum is swinging back the other way.
Yes, the boomerang is coming back. How many more can we come up with?
God damn it.
The boomerang is coming back. The pendulum is swinging back the other direction. I think a lot of people, especially like there's a big push, I think, in DTRPGs for DMs to figure out how do you make travel fun and interesting. And I mean, you've played with me where I've tried to deploy my own mechanisms for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of...
I love the skills challenge as a travel mechanism.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to try to make those entertaining, but in storytelling, it's you don't always want the story to be about, well, we're trying to get from X to Y and we're going to take forever to get there.
Unless,
in the story, if it's not a part of the story.
Unless you are famously a man, an elf, and a dwarf racing across lands trying to find two halflings taken by Uruk-hai, whose armor is thick and their shields broad.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. And then on the way, you discover, hey, this neighboring kingdom actually needs some help because the king is possessed by, ironically, the same evil wizard that kidnapped our halfling friends. So point is, the Lord of the Rings would not have existed. Like the whole thing is like, if there were a fast travel mechanic, the whole thing would have been gone.
Yeah.
That said, I think from a storytelling perspective, there are times when you don't want to travel and risk getting distracted from the mission. You don't want to risk scope drift. And well, this is where...
Well, also, I think it's not just that, but when you're world building, if you build a world where you can have a mechanic like this, you increase the scope of the world that would be relevant to the story, because getting from place to place is now streamlined. In our real world, you know, plane travel has made India, has made South Africa, Mozambique, Brazil feel so much closer and so much more relevant to our day-to-day lives versus like 100 years ago, you would never really think about these places, or it was such a journey. Now it's like, well, I was, you know, how many people do you know where you realize, oh, you've been in India for the past couple weeks. I had no idea. I just haven't seen you for 2 weeks, but you can fly back so quickly.
Right.
Who knows? And the real world analog works really well for this. So the Mass Effect relays are the best example of fast travel.
I think they're sort of the platonic, like when I think about what the ideal version of a fast travel system is, they are as critical to the world. They are well explained. They are critical to the world and thus critical to the story.
Yeah.
And that those are sort of the buckets that those are. If you can have them all, great. If not, then you know what? Star Trek just said, beam me up, Scotty. And they're like, oh, yeah, rearranges your molecules and then puts them back together. And right. we're just like, okay.
Sounds good.
Boop. Fine. Done. Power Rangers had teleportation. They just said it.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, teleportation, you can just kind of say it. I'm currently watching The Wheel of Time, which you refuse to watch, but they're actually crushing it with the season 3 so far.
Great.
And they have the ways in The Wheel of Time where it's like basically another realm that you open up this gate and you go there, and then you have to navigate through this realm, which is very dangerous and you can die there, but only certain people are allowed and able to navigate it. And then you get to another gate within there and you can emerge somewhere else on the other side of this very, very big world.
So that actually reminds me of how Nightcrawler teleports in X-Men, which is he opens very small localized portals into hell, navigates through hell, and then comes out the other side. That's how he teleports.
That's pretty cool.
Which is great.
I like that.
Yeah.
Which, shout out to Interstellar when they have the wormhole at the end, and they like, and the way that they handle space travel is a very cool fast travel-ish mechanic, but it's, you know, physics and it's very complicated and weird.
I didn't like Interstellar.
It's good, but I will never watch it again because it's too long.
I think it's masturbatory, and I think it's a bad ripoff of Contact.
Interesting take. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to probably our noodles.
I forgot. Just last one. The waypoints in Baldur's Gate 3. where you can use to get around the city. And it is a fast travel mechanic, but it is also explained that there is a portal mechanism because Gale gets stuck in one.
Yeah.
So
it's just a portal network that nobody else uses but you.
I have no, and why? It would be great if you, they answered that. It's not necessary to, but it would be great if they answered that.
Yeah. All right. Well, answer this. What are your words for your noodles today? Describe them to me.
Starlight, Starbright. I wish I will. I wish I might. I twinkle, twinkle.
Little star?
Little star.
How I wonder. All right. Well, let's move on to.
Yeah. What's yours, Kyle? I forgot what the rest of that poem was. What's yours?
Jet lag.
Lit. Go for it.
Okay. Mine is basically taking the concept of an airport and putting it into another world, but where I was on a long hike yesterday and my feet were really tired. And I thought, what if you could just travel somewhere, but then you have, your body pays the price. Like you teleport there, but your body pays the price for the distance you just went. So your feet will be as tired as you just walked 1,000 miles. And so you have this, like this.
What if the act of traveling would kill you?
I think it would bake in like sleeping, you know, but it would be like you could approximate it.
Okay.
And we can get into some of that.
Yeah.
We can get into the exact toll, but your body pays a significant physical toll, a reasonable one that like, you know, it's not like you're going to die. It's more like you are exhausted from the experience. And so then when you arrive at your destination, they have like, you know, at the big, you know, the big airports in like the Middle East, Singapore, places mm-hmm. where you have the sleeping pods mm-hmm. and you have this like, oh, you're on a long journey. We'll give you a spot to rest. They kind of have that situation, but it's like, you know, you arrive here and then they have, you know, just like rooms for you to rest and recuperate before you continue on your journey, because you're going to be so jet lagged and so like your body will be so physically worn down. You're not going to be able to walk out of the building very easily. You need to chill and rest here for a while. So it's a little way station, and the distance will matter. So some people will be, oh, I got to stay at the way station for about 10 days because it was such a long journey.
And just some people, recuperate.
And some people could be, well, it's one way station over. I just take like a 5-minute break, get a cup of coffee, and then I'm good to go.
So I know you. So two things. One, I am starting to appreciate a trend with you, which is you love stations.
I do love stations.
You have mentioned
right.
train stations, airports, bus stations several times.
I
now
love
on
urbanism,
this podcast.
If you didn't know that. I am quite a fan of centralized planning.
I just love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is totally not surprising. I should have seen this coming. I didn't, and I absolutely should have. Second point, this actually, I think this is very interesting. I think this is cool. I like the idea of the station because I know you went with jet lag. It actually reminded me more of a depressurization.
Yeah.
When you're coming up from scuba diving. And if you come up too fast, like maybe there's something in the way that if you've, you know, in Star Wars, they shift into hyperspace, right? And so maybe when you jump out of it, time catches up to you.
Yeah. And then right? You're just like, you just all of a sudden have like a huge gust of wind coming at your back and just knocks you down because you're so exhausted.
Or so, effectively, or basically, I guess you have experienced time short. Like, you know, if you were traveling 100 light years, right, that would take a very long time. But if you could do it and travel that in, let's say, a day. Mm-hmm. But then immediately once you come out of hyperspace, time tries to catch back up with you physically. Your body just has to adjust to it. And so if you don't, then yeah, you come out of hyperspace and then suddenly you age 100,000 years in 1 second and just turn into dust. Unless you come out of hyperspace into one of these stations, these quantum ports, whatever, mm-hmm. where time actually, the time dilation is more controlled so that you do have to rest and recover there so that it doesn't come back and kill you, basically. Just like if when you're coming up from scuba diving, if you come up too fast, you get the bends and your head explodes.
I like where your head's at, but Honestly, I don't want to fuck with no time shit.
That's fine. It's cool. It doesn't matter. It was just an example.
No, it's a good example. It's just, I think then you do crossover into that always prickly subject of anything time travel based.
Sure.
That people pick apart world building if there's time based stuff mm-hmm. in it, because it is so physics based and nuanced, and it's hard to hand wave. That's where I was like hand waving it, saying, well, you just teleport, but then you physically just pay like a toll that seems very human. But you arrived instantaneously. You just aren't ready. Your body isn't, so you can mentally be in a spot, but then physically not be able to go do something. So you can't like teleport an army across the world and immediately go into a battle.
Sure, sure.
But you can teleport a diplomat across the world and immediately have a conversation.
Sure.
So I think it kind of
I see your point.
It reins in some of the worst instincts that you might get out of a teleportation system, but still allows some of the upside, I guess.
Boy, you are going to hate my idea, because it is so easy to pick apart and requires so much hand waving.
I'm okay with that.
I know.
I don't want to be the steward of the idea that has all the time.
Happy to do that.
Yeah. I'll pick apart your idea all I want then. And it's a pretty straightforward idea. There's not a whole lot of complexity to it. And cause you can plug that, and you can play it. You could do it in a sci-fi world, kind of like you say, where there's the hyperspace jump and then you need to recuperate. You could do it in more the way that I'm thinking of, you know, it's on land and you just teleport from the desert over to the tundra space, and you just need to, you need to recuperate for a week within the building, and you get to meet people, and it might be a good spot for characters, you know, within say a novel, you know, a written story where it's someone teleporting from station to station and getting to know the people there is, you know, these small little slices of life of there's the staff who run the place, who are oftentimes going to be medical personnel who are able to help make sure that you're good and that you've got food and water and are taken care of. And you talk to the other people who they're traveling. It's almost like there's some story archetype that this is.
This would be a great setting for a murder mystery.
Ooh, yes.
And also imagine great. You show up, you say like, hey folks, we're playing D&D today, and you show up and you've got your barbarian and your fighter and your paladin and a bard and a rogue. And then suddenly you're saying, all right, so you have one combat at the beginning and everyone gets to do their physical martial stuff. And then it's like, oh, we're going to take this fast travel thing home. And by the way, y'all are physically incapacitated now and there is a murder and the thing is locked down. So there is no smiting. There is no action surge. There's no none of it. You can only use whatever your mental stats are to solve this mystery.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you immediately went to how do you make this a module for a D&D game. I think you don't even need to do that.
No, you don't have to.
Like that's a great example, full stop. And you could do it where it is just a character, you know, a singular story character in the case of a novel arrives at a way station, a murder happens nearly, you know, 30 seconds, 30 minutes after they arrive. And they're going to be there for 2 days anyway. So now there's a whole, and maybe they are a famous detective, you know,
sure.
Benoit Blanc shows up and what does he do? He starts investigating. You know, I think it's a great example of what you could do with this type of thing.
It's a great place for any sort of like bottle episode.
Yeah. That's a great way to frame it. Yeah. It is a great conceit from a world building perspective for creating a bottle episode situation.
Full stop.
Moving on to the next idea.
Yep.
Tell me about this complicated idea that I'm going to pick apart.
All right. So this is an idea for teleportation. It uses the stars as relay points. So basically what happens is when you teleport, you turn yourself effectively into a meteor, just like a bolt of energy that can go super, super fast. Like it ignores time, space, like from here to the stars. It doesn't fucking matter. But you can really only go in one direction, right? And so uses these stars as relay points. So like, yeah, you can go and you basically bounce from star to star like a stellar pinball and then fly back down to the Earth to get to your final destination. So it requires you to calculate the geometry of where you need to go and then also which stars you want to bounce off of to get where you're trying to go. So you can do global and interstellar travel, but you also, if you wanted to, if you could calculate the geometry correctly, teleport 5 feet away. Just bounce up teleport up to a star, bounce back and bounce back down to get out of a tricky situation that you might happen to be in. And so this whole idea is, again, there's so much to pick apart. I don't give a shit about any of it. It does not matter. It started evolving for me when I started thinking about, okay, you have all these mages. This is high level math shit that you have to be doing. So there would be I started imagining there is a device, almost like a calculator, that wizards and mages would carry with them called an astrometer, which would do all of the math for them. It would tell them, it would plot the chart. It would say where you have to stand precisely to teleport, which stars you're going to travel through. I imagine also that there might be some sort of mages guild that builds satellites and put them into the sky so that they could create their own relay system. But then maybe a story comes out where the satellites break down and people have to relearn how to use this teleportation without it. Or imagine you've got this whole thing and then you meet someone who can teleport without use of an astrometer. And they're just out there doing the math all in their heads and they're better at it than anybody else. And so this stellar relay system for both global and localized teleportation suddenly just expanded out into this world of technology and engineering and science-based magic that was super intriguing to me.
Okay. First thing before I forget, the astrometer?
Astrometer.
Shout out, I guess, to the alethiometer from His Dark Materials, which feels kind of similar. As a device that only a few people can use.
Yeah.
But insanely powerful and feared, and it is a symbol of power.
Yeah,
which feels like this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, astrometry is the study of like the movement and positioning of stars. Yeah, that's right.
But it symbolizes the ability to do this. So yeah. Then, a couple questions logistically. How quick is the movement? So the 5 foot example, like, well, if it's going to take you 20 minutes to do this,
bing.
So you this meteor comet thing you turn into,
mm-hmm.
Is it like you're actually a comet now, or is it you are a singular, you are a tiny organism? You're a little point of light.
Yeah, just a little thing of energy that goes way faster than light should.
Okay.
And it yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, doesn't really matter. Okay. Yep, just ping, ping, ba-ding, ping, 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 ping.
Okay.
Ba-ding, ping, ping.
Bam. And then how many people can do this?
I don't know. I imagine it's a highly specialized skill at first. That's the point of this, is that this is something that can be done theoretically
by anybody. As long as you learn it.
And you have to learn how to do them. You have to have the star charts memorized. You have to be able to do that math fast and accurately in order to get it right. That is important. And I imagine actually that the most common way for novice mages to die is actually by getting their first teleportation wrong, missing a star,
and then going off into space.
And then just going off into space, or like flying directly into the sun.
And then you could, and at that point, if you are able to get your wits about you and reverse it, or you can teleport, you can send yourself back through a star back to Earth. But if you panic and you run out of time because you die in space before you're able to figure it out. But if you're really good, you might be able to be like, oh shit, that was a near catastrophe, but I was able to get back. And I didn't get back exactly where I was, but I walked, or I made my way home once I was back on Earth and I wasn't going to die from launching into the sun. And maybe there's levels of is it more complicated than, I guess? Well, I guess it would depend on what the star charts are. So it's actually really easy on any given day to teleport to a couple spots. So it might be really easy for me to teleport from here to Nepal, but it isn't easy for me to teleport from here to where you're sitting.
Correct. And which is, for folks at home, about 6 feet away.
There might be a day where going 5 feet is the easier option.
So I actually envisioned it as it is possible to teleport during the day. It is harder, though.
So only the really, really talented ones can do that.
or you have the highest quality astrometers. At night, it is much, much easier.
Yeah.
Because you can see all of the stars.
Yeah. So then if you're doing it during the day, you're basically taking either, you know exactly what the stars look like on the other side of the world. And you're like, you can imagine the stars through the darkness that you don't see.
Right.
Or you're just taking a guess.
I think it's more knowledge. It is like, I know that if I teleport at this angle and hit Vega at this angle, then I will then hit right. And it's pool. It's pinball where you're bouncing around.
Yeah. Simple geometry.
Very complicated geometry, but simple.
Sarcasm. God damn. I don't understand anything.
It's very, very complicated math.
Also, I was quoting a particular character from a particular piece of media. And if anybody knows what I quoted, let me know in the email. I honestly don't even know what more to say to it. I think it's really cool. It's so, like, you obviously have a pattern, which is you create elaborate systems of rules, and you like creating hard magic systems, and you've kind of done that here, which I don't really know what else to say on it, other than I guess questions about maybe the implications. But the implications are, as you say, a bit open, and that's where the fun comes in, is that as this develops and more people learn it, more people are able to deploy it, then you get to play in the sandbox of what are the consequences.
Yeah.
And right now it's like hard to say.
Well, and I started thinking about it. Basically, you enter into a world where this is established. Astrometers are very common. They don't actually even need to use the stars anymore, because the relay system of satellites that the artificers have built is already existing.
Mass effect relays.
And then something happens and it gets shut down.
Yeah.
And so the relay system is gone. Maybe the astrometers still work. Maybe they don't. But suddenly you have to relearn how to do all of this by hand.
Yeah. In Dune, when they defeat the thinking machines.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, well, go back to analog and now redevelop stuff.
Correct.
And maybe you'll get back to something that's advanced, but you have to redevelop it.
Correct.
You know, it's like our world in 100 years.
The rest of it was largely vibes based.
Yeah. The vibes based is good.
Yeah.
And I think,
so. And I liked coming up with the astrometer. I thought that was fun.
I think it'd be cool. Could you use it where, say, you invent some vehicle that is able to do this in mass?
Oh, yeah, that exists.
Yeah. So you can get on a bus, and the bus has like a astrometer built into it that says, we will teleport you now from here to here. And then you just create air travel.
Yeah. And you can also teleport militaries around. I think I thought about limiting it to living beings only, but then I started getting into, well,
I think thinking military base is actually really cool, because then you get into the implications, and maybe why it gets shut down is that countries around, like, there's some country that is afraid of an invasion from the guys who use this all the time, destroys the system.
Probably, yeah.
And says, we don't want you invading us, and we're pretty sure you will, using the astrometer tank system or whatever they're going to do. So no, we're going to shut it down. We're removing your ability to deploy.
They tank the whole thing. I think they've probably been living underground for a while, because that gives them a distinctive strategic advantage, because suddenly they might not be able to teleport, but they also can't be caught off guard.
Yeah.
I think also that could be a really fun method of execution, is just beam somebody right into the sun,
Ethan,
straight off into space.
We perfected it in 1700s, man. The French got it. My man, guillotine. He aced it. You don't need to make another way to do an execution.
Okay, fine. The stellar guillotine.
Oh yeah. Oh, so beautiful. Stellar guillotine. Yeah, I think the idea that like somebody goes underground and like a whole nother world is being developed underground to avoid the implications of, because teleport, like, you say create a totalitarian state.
Sure.
Is that they just teleport into you all of a sudden, boom. There's just the Gestapo just shows up in front of you, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, it's perfect for creating a dystopian world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those implications are really good.
Yeah.
Because then you create an interesting perspective on the resistance, evil empire vibe where the good guys all live underground, not because, like, for no other reason than we need to avoid instant teleportation into our space.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go, they create some sort of mirrored wall, like a dome that's like a mirror.
The shimmer screen.
Yeah, the light bounces back off of it.
That's fantastic. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, absolutely.
And maybe you line a normal city, like, you know how they, for climate, we're trying to paint all the, mm-hmm. the rooftops white.
Mm-hmm.
You just start painting rooftops with shimmery, reflective surfaces so that no one can bounce anywhere effectively, and it scrambles their ability to teleport into the city.
Yeah.
And maybe that, and that's how you build resistance.
I think that I had not thought of that. That's spectacular.
Maybe, you know, in battle, you know, they all have shields that are big mirrors just to throw off any potential teleportation, yeah. and to teleport them into wrong spaces. So say you're trying to launch onto a guy and he teleports you and then he throws up his mirror shield, and that light now bounces and reflects and goes over there into a mountain.
Or,
and you die.
Or into your tank.
I was just going to use physics to kill him, but yeah, you could be like, yeah, just go straight into the treads of a tank.
Yeah, and then you take down the guy trying to fireball you, and also you take down an enemy tank.
Oh, you're saying, like, yeah, use him as a projectile into the tank. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Like Captain America reflecting Iron Man's beams in the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Like, that that was something that I did think about, was this idea of a wizard battle looking like a light show. Of just bouncing, just sort of light bouncing around all over the place.
Yeah. I think this is where you end up with a world that is full of reflective materials everywhere.
Yeah.
Because that is the defense mechanism.
Absolutely. I had not thought of that. I had focused on the underground world, but yeah, the shimmer screen is great.
I think they're two different types of stories.
Sure. And or two different people.
Yeah, yeah. You could have both. You could have the underground, because you could have the like the citizens of the empire, that this evil empire that's teleporting around. They have now formed an underground society to avoid this totalitarian state. And the enemies of this empire are now using all these shields, these reflective shields and the shimmer screens or whatever to deflect their ability to be invaded.
Yeah.
And then and then you get an interesting friction there.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. All right.
Giddy up. Microwave for me. 3, 2, 1.
I love a porter's guild, you know, like where they just have porters who move things around.
Yep.
Taking on, similar to what you brought up with the X-Men, Quicksilver. You have just a porter's guild. They're all guys who can move, like Quicksilver, the Flash, who are just those, you know, ability to run instantly anywhere.
Sure.
And you just giddy up, you just get a piggyback ride on one of them and they just run you to wherever you're going, and that's it.
That's cool.
Or they get like a little sled and they just pull it, but whatever it is,
that's cool.
They just pull you to where you go.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
What do you got? Ding.
There are such a thing as ley lines, you know, like we always talk about energy ley lines, galactic ley lines, but they're just rivers of energy flowing throughout the world.
Yeah.
And so apparently I'm thinking relays today. As long as you can tap into one of it, it only goes in one direction.
It's a lazy river.
Hmm?
It's a lazy river.
Yeah. And you just sort of ride it and then you hop off wherever you can, sort of like...
I think we discussed an idea like this once upon a time.
We might have.
Because I remember talking about towers you would build that go up to the ley lines that you could disembark, I think. Either way.
Sounds familiar. I was thinking about...
Cool.
I was thinking about Crush and Squirt from Finding Nemo, where it's like you're on the Eastern Australian Current,
uh-huh.
and they pull Marlin and Dory in with them, and they go down, and then they fall off, but they can swim and come back in.
Yeah.
That's cool. What I was thinking about.
Yeah. Cool. All right. What's stuck for you?
I think the shimmer screen is great. The use of reflective materials and having to be very careful about where you're teleporting and how, and, you know, people bouncing energy into tanks, and that energy just happens to be also enemy combatants. I think that's really fun. What's going to stick for me is the relay system, the stellar relay, the stellar pinball. I don't know why that idea, when I had it, it tickled something in my brain, and my brain said, oh, this is great. You've done it again, Ethan. And it's going to stick there for a while.
Okay.
But what I think for me is, in addition to all of that,
So in addition to half of the episode,
I like the idea of having to recuperate from interstellar dimensional travel, right? Like the talking about the effects that travel of that magnitude and of that distance would have on the body. And the idea of, you would even call it the bends, probably, right? You've got to avoid getting the bends. And so you need to chill out and think about that as part of the calculus that goes into plane shifting, teleporting, space travel, whatever.
Yeah.
That I think is interesting.
Yeah.
What stuck for you, Kyle?
I think it's the battle with the shimmer screens and the shields and the idea of like using the guy as a projectile against his own tank.
That was a great idea.
I think
that was just fun.
I think that visual is really cool and really an interesting, like, full end game of that idea, which I love. I love when the end game of the idea really crystallizes and we can fully see a fleshed out world with the people in the underground, the people, you know, fighting with the shields and the teleportation, all that. I think that's really cool. I think the thing that I really loved was, I love a quiet contemplative piece. And I think both the murder mystery idea and then I really love the, you know, just the simple like bottle of, you know, a guy goes to one of these way stations and just talks to the people and just the slice of life elements. And then he goes to another way station, sees some more people, slice of life. And that doesn't have to be in specfic. That could just be, you know, a modern story.
We're just setting the terminal with Tom Hanks in space.
I like the terminal. It's a terrible romance. It makes no sense, but the rest of it is a fun concept.
Yeah,
but
like when he figures out the carts and the quarters and
yeah it's great, and Stanley Tucci's a piece of shit in that movie,
which is rare.
I like the idea of it being a great spot to set a singular like little module. Like
it's a great bottle episode.
It's a great bottle whatever. So that's what stuck for me. I felt like I was supposed to say something else.
Well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you. Our email is in the show notes. And be sure to leave us a review on whatever podcast app you're using.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Thank you. Goodbye.